And so Psalm 119 has 176 verses, so we'll be here for a couple hours this morning, and just joking. You'll be able to watch some football this afternoon, I promise. As we are on the journey, the path of faith and the journey of life, sometimes we can get really distracted. We can just get so in tune and focus kind of to where we are that we forget that there's a destination that we're headed toward. And it kind of reminds me of a story of a couple little leaguers who were playing in their baseball game. And they were really into the game. The game was going into the seventh inning. Score was tied, and it was kind of really intense. It required a lot of focus and concentration on the game. Well, one of the little leaguers hit the ball into the outfield, and of course it kind of bounced and went over to a covered fence. And it was a little league game, and so the boys had to hop over the fence. They didn't just have a lot of balls that they could just kind of easily just kind of leave the ball over the fence and go get a new one. So a couple little leaguers in the outfield, they hopped over the fence to go and retrieve the ball. And it was taking a few minutes, and kind of the players were kind of getting a little restless and maybe a little concerned. The coaches were kind of scratching their head, wondering, how long was it taking these boys to retrieve this ball? What was going on? What was happening? And so after a while, some of the team members started walking back and trying to figure out what was going on. And then next thing you know, the coaches did as well. And so as the whole team flooded over the fence, and the coaches as well, to go and see where the ball was and where these boys were, they saw these boys with the gloves dropped on the ground and the ball just laying there right at their feet, and them with a big blueberry smile right on their faces. You see, they had realized that over that fence was blueberries, and they were enjoying the blueberries. Who cares about the urgency of a game? There is a moment that we need to delight in. There is a moment that we need to take advantage of. The scripture says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." This morning, I want to talk about taking refuge and delight in the Lord. Regardless of what's going on around you, that there is joy to be had in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what problems we have a problem solver whom we can delight in. Thank you, Kara, for that line and that reminder this morning. I want to talk about, as well, as we kind of talk about delighting and having refuge in the Lord, a couple spiritual disciplines that's going to be the key theme through Psalm 119. The first one is this. The first one is scripture memorization. Last week we talked just briefly about that from Psalm 1 and how that was important in our Christian life and for our faith, and we're going to do so even more today. Essentially, scripture memorization is a discipline of studying and storing up God's word in your mind and in your heart, so that you can recall God's promises and his precepts without having to physically look at the text, right? As the psalmist would say in Psalm 105, verse 5, "Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments that he has uttered." Meditating and memorizing not only has spiritual benefits, but it also has physical ones. It keeps your mind sharp. It increases your ability to focus. And to those who might say, well, scripture memory is kind of just childish. It's for little children. It's not for us. Or, I can't memorize anymore. Let me ask you, do you remember your phone number? Some of you may not, because it's all programmed into your phone, right? Or how about your house address? Or how about bank account numbers? Or how about directions to important places? Or how about sport facts and skill sets that you have for your daily job? You see, we all memorize certain things. The reality is we memorize what is important to us. And so the challenge is to remember that God's word is a treasure for us. So we're going to talk a bit about that today. In the early church history, scripture memory was the norm. Scripture was read in repeating cycles as part of corporate worship and often memorized through hearing, since personal copies were minimal or non-existent. And so scripture memory was the norm in early church history. Even more, early pastors and church leaders were required to have multiple portions of scripture memorized. Today, in parts of the world where God's word is scarce or non-existent, it's essential to memorize scripture, to have faith, and to know what God's word says, and to even practice and live that out. There are portions of the world where copies of the word of God is just not present, not available. And so when they get scripture, they will rip pages out and divide it up and share it with other members in their family and other members in their community so that they all can concentrate and memorize a portion. And once they memorize it, they switch and share different copies and portions that they have so that they can remember large passages. Scripture memorization, we're going to talk about the importance of that today. Secondly, is also Christian meditation. Now, meditation isn't something this kind of this mysterious kind of mind-bending activity, you know. We talked a little bit last week that kind of the worldly meditation is just kind of like emptying your mind of everything. Don't think of anything at all, right? Christian meditation is a bit different. Christian meditation certainly has a component of emptying and removing distractions from ourselves and repenting of sin and getting rid of that out of our lives through confession. But Christian meditation is different in that it actually wants a filling up, not just an emptying, but a filling up with God and with His Word. And so meditation does not have to be this mysterious sort of thing. It's really about reflecting. In fact, the word itself, meditation, is this word that kind of calls up to mind about growling or murmuring, kind of like sighing or maybe even chewing up your food. It's kind of like, like when you do that after a good steak, right? It just kind of make those sounds, and you just, your belly just kind of sit back and just kind of make sort of certain sounds. People kind of do that. Maybe that's kind of a manly thing, right, Fred? The word is kind of like that in the Hebrew, and that's the idea about meditating, is that you would just kind of muse and just kind of rest and sit on a certain passage or certain verses or maybe even a certain couple words to reflect and just kind of let it just sink in and soak in your heart and in your mind and to think about what it means. Again, we're going to talk a bit about both of these disciplines. So I invite you to turn to Psalm 119 if you're not already there, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 24, okay? Not the whole chapter. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast and keep in your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I will seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant so that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times. You rebuke the insolent, the cursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me scorn and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. And even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Psalm 119 is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. In fact, it's very poetic. Firstly, it describes a path. It talks about blessed are they whose way is blameless. Just like in Psalm 1, it begins with this idea of blessing. And likewise, here, and just as in Psalm 1, is the word blessing is in the, or blessed is in the plural. And again, so it, to recall to memory, it's about a state. It's not just like, you know, be blessed. It's like it's about this state or this identity of being blessed. Again, I said last week, it's if you're a Duck Dynasty fan, it's happy, happy, happy. Okay, it's this continuous live identity and active action in your life. It's a state of blessing. It's a pathway of blessing. The entire psalm itself has 22 stanzas with 8 verses each. And every stanza begins with a certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so you might see these funny words on top of each of these stanzas. And the first one is Aleph. And the second one is Bet. And the third one is Gamil. And so forth and so forth. And these are the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And every verse and every stanza begins with that letter that represents that stanza. And so the first 8 verses, they would all begin with Aleph, or A in our alphabet. And verses 9 through 16, they would all begin, every verse begins with the letter B, or Bet. Every letter in verses 17 through 24 is the Gimel, okay? And so you would see that all the way throughout this psalm. Why do you think the psalmist does such a thing? One is certainly to be poetic, is certainly to just kind of have a certain art and craft to the psalm and to kind of an ode to God's word is what he's doing. But he's also doing it for practical reasons. He's doing it in such a way that will make it easier for the reader, for the audience, to memorize God's word, to memorize scripture. And so the psalmist here is kind of given, in some sense, the ABCs on the pathway for God's blessing. And that's what we're going to look at today. The first one is that meditation and memorizing scripture results in this, results in authenticity. I believe we can see that from verses 1 through 8, as we see that this first stanza talks about a pathway that leads to blessing. And it starts in following a path that is a way of blamelessness. The idea is one that is undefiled, one that is pure. And those who walk in the law of the Lord, this idea of walking is living out the faith, living out this pathway of blamelessness. It's in a word, it means obedience. And that's the entire first 8 verses is kind of talking about this pathway of obedience and truly living out the Christian faith. And so there's a sense of authenticity here that the psalmist wants us to catch and to understand and what it means to be blessed and walking with God. In fact, in all 176 verses, all 176 verses, in every single verse, God is mentioned or referred to. And in 173 of the 176 verses has a reference to the law of the Lord. As in verse 1, it says, blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. And so it's those who are walking into according to God's word. Sometimes the law of the Lord will be referred to or have synonyms as Torah, or precepts, or statutes, or commandments, or judgments, or decisions, or appointments, or even the word itself. Or sometimes it will just say promise. But all of these are calling up to mind those who are living in authentic relationship to God and to his word. Look at verse 2. It's those who would be off. This is what it means to live with authenticity, is to seek God with your whole heart. Seek God with your whole heart, who keep his testimonies. Sometimes we can do things halfway. We can do things with half-heartedness. Sometimes people use another anatomy body part to say about half doing things halfway, right? And we should not do things halfway if you are a follower of God. One missionary said, be extravagant for God or for the devil, but for God's sake, don't be tepid. You get the picture? That we should be people who are full devotion to life, full devotion to life. And especially when it comes to the things of God, do not do things half-hearted. Where are you giving God fractional obedience in your life? See, God doesn't do fractions. He just does full obedience. And so that's a call for you. If you are looking to evaluate your life and authenticity of following God and in His pathway, is there fractional obedience in your life? Because God is asking for full obedience. Seek God with your whole heart. Verse 3, authenticity means that we are separating from evil. Those who also do no wrong but walk in His ways. Those who do no wrong, we're separating from evil. There's things that we have to cut ties with. Sometimes it might be a relationship. Sometimes it might be a person or people that are a crowd of people that are just dragging you down, taking you down the wrong path. So sometimes it might be a relationship. Sometimes it might be an activity or entertainment or whatever that is. But authenticity separates from evil and keeps our eyes on what is true and according to God's commandments. Verses 4 through 6 talk about authenticity is about being diligent, being steadfast in obedience. Faithfulness means that you have a focus, that your eyes are fixed on God's commandments. Verses 4 through 6. And so may that be true of us. Lastly, verses 7 and 8, that authenticity has an upright heart. Verse 7, I will praise you with an upright heart. In other words, there's integrity there. It means that you live your life not to say things or do things to make people laugh and to please them, but you live for an audience of one. You don't change your values. You don't change your behavior or your personality to try to please somebody else. You live for an audience of one. And in fact, the psalmist, his fear in living out the pathway according to God and to His word, he says in verse 6, he says, and then I shall not, if I'm living according to your word, God, then I will not be put to shame. And then he says it again in verse 8, he says, do not utterly forsake me. In other words, he's saying, if I live according to God's word, I know and I have confidence that God is with me. But if I don't live according to God's word, then there's a fear that I'm going to miss out on God. And so what is your greatest fear? Do you fear not pleasing somebody? Do you fear not getting acceptance from a certain group of people? Or do you fear God the most? You see, that's what the psalmist is calling us to realize and evaluate in our life, that our greatest fear and our greatest adoration should be towards the Lord. And that's what it means to have an authentic relationship with God. That's what these first verse eight verses kind of pull out to us about results of meditating and memorizing and putting God's word first place in your life, is that it will result in authenticity in your life. You're not going to be halfway about it. Verses 9 through 16 present a second result of meditating and memorizing God's word. The second result is that your faith will be built. You will have a building faith. This idea is that we will have attention, so much attention to God's word, that we're going to store it up in our hearts, that we're going to hide God's word in our hearts, that when we do that, we're going to guard our hearts from a world that wants to defile us. We're going to guard our hearts from a world that wants to attack us. When our heart and mind are filled up with godly treasure, then there's going to be little room for worldly trash, you know, and that's what the psalmist is saying. How can I keep my way pure? How can I stay on the path? And he says, by storing up God's word in my heart so that I don't sin against God. Pastor Chuck Swindoll says, I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding and practically speaking than memorizing Scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened. Your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your attitudes and your outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. That's what the psalmist is talking about, having your faith built up. It's told that on the Titanic, as that great ship was sunk into the depths of the water, that years later, divers would go down and kind of explore and just kind of look at the boat and do research and retrieve certain valuables, that they found some wine bottles that were on the Titanic. Many of the wine bottles were smashed to pieces and crushed with crushed glass and such, but there was a handful of bottles of wine that survived and that weren't caved in from the decline, the descent into the water. So these divers gathered them up and brought them out and did a little research on them. And what they essentially discovered is that the reason why these wine bottles did not cave in and get crushed in glass is because from the inside there was an equal and even greater force from the inside that was pressing outward, and so it didn't get crushed. And that is true of our hearts. You see, the world is constantly trying to cave us in and putting pressure on us to just cave and cow to the worldly standards. And if our hearts aren't filled up with an equal and greater pressure forcing externally out, then we will be crushed as well. We need to store up God's word in our heart. We need to meditate and to memorize God's word in our lives. This idea about building up faith is continued in verses 12 through 13 when he says, "Teach me your statutes, and with my lips I will declare all the rules of your mouth." Your faith will have this learning, this attitude of learning. You want to learn. You pray, God, teach me. Help me to grow. Help me to learn more. Help me to gain a greater knowledge so that I can apply it in my life. You'll come to Bible studies. You have a heart to come to Bible study. You have a heart to be around and spend time with other believers who are more mature and have wisdom to share. You have this attitude of learning that you don't know it all and you need to grow in your faith. Verses 4 through, and let me also say this, is that that attitude of learning, one of the best ways that you can know that you're learning and growing is that you're communicating that to others. One of the things I found in my Christian journey, and it's not just because I'm a pastor, one of the things I found in my Christian journey is the more that I learn, and one of the best ways I can learn is when I talk with others, when I try to communicate and teach it to others. And when I can teach it to others and kind of debrief and talk it over with them, I learned so much from teaching. And so I want to encourage you. Is it no matter if you are a learner, you may not be a Sunday school teacher, you may not be a regular teacher, but you can teach others. You can talk it over with your spouse. You can talk it over with your children. You can talk it over with your friends and with your peers and with those who are around you. And you can teach one another. And as you're doing that, you're communicating and expressing this, you're learning from each other. So I want to encourage you to have that learning attitude and then to teach others, just like as the psalmist will say, teach me your statutes, I want to learn, but then with my lips I'm going to declare all the rules of your mouth. Then he goes on, he'll talk about building up his faith in the other verses as well, in verses 14 through 16, and delighting in God's words. So meditation and memorization of God's word, it's not this sort of duty, it's a delight to the psalmist, he would say in verse 14. It's a delight to him. I think sometimes people get kind of memorization, they kind of keep it at arm's length because it kind of reminds them about school. I don't know about you, but I wasn't a big fan of being in school, okay? Being in a classroom and just having to memorize, a list of facts and figures and people and all that sort of thing. And so memorization is kind of like school, and you kind of get these twitches, right? And it's not meant to be that way. It's about spiritual growth. It's about giving you power and confidence in your life. Think about the life of Jesus. I'm just kind of break here from the text. Think about the life of Jesus. Before his ministry, he was tempted by Satan. And guess what Satan did? Satan had scripture memorized, and he quoted it to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus responded every time he was tempted by Satan, likewise, by quoting scripture. Jesus had spent time in his life. And we ask that question, well, where was Jesus in his early years? He was preparing. He was hiding God's word in his heart. He was getting equipped and getting empowered so that he could sustain a life of ministry to the level that he was going to have to do in his life. Every time he was tempted by Satan, he quoted scripture back. One of the scriptures he quoted back was from Deuteronomy, and he says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so if Satan can memorize and quote scripture, oh Christian, don't let Satan outwit you. If you want to withstand Satan's attacks in your life, then we need to hide God's word in our heart. The apostles, all the disciples, whenever they would face problems or when they faced persecution in their life, they would recall scripture. They would quote it and teach it to others as well. They would rely on Jesus' teachings and quote Jesus' teachings. In fact, Jesus told them in John 14 and chapters John 14 through 16, Jesus told them that the Spirit of God would help them recall his teachings. And so hiding God's word in the apostles' lives was important to them. It's important for persecuted Christians today, as I shared earlier, where Christianity is illegal or scripture is scarce. Believers pray for copies to be provided to them so that they can memorize portions on their own. And scripture is important to memorize and meditate upon for our lives as well. We're created and called to glorify God in great ways. And so meditating upon and memorizing scripture helps us to war against mediocrity and to be equipped for effective ministry. What if I told you for every verse that you memorized, I would give you $1,000? Would that enhance you, give you a little motivation? The psalmist says, "In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches." Verse 72 in Psalm 119, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." The psalmist says in verse 127 of this chapter, "I love your commandments above gold, even above fine gold." In verse 162, he says, "I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil." You see, the psalmist had a motivation, and it was far above worldly riches. He understood that the word of God was a great treasure to him. And so what's a great treasure in your life? I think we also need a method. You need a plan. You need a strategy. And so our church body is kind of offering and suggesting a strategy, a plan. Here's a few passages for you to kind of begin to memorize. You say, well, where do I start? Start with Psalm 1. It's got 6 verses. And let that sink into your heart and really just reflect and meditate upon that and how that will shape your life. Maybe this passage here in Psalm 119 or another passage, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 12 through 20, talk about our bodies and making sure that our bodies are lived out in proper ways for the Lord God. Or another passage in 1 Corinthians 13, just thinking about God's love and how we're called also to reciprocate that love and be a channel of God's love unto others and in the body of Christ. We're going to be talking about these passages in the future sometime in 2014 after we get through the series in January through the book of, not the entire book of Psalms, but some of these Psalms here. Beginning in February, we're going to start the book of 1 Corinthians. So just be praying upon these scriptures and allowing them to sink into your heart. You know, you can pray about other scriptures that God might lead you to memorize. Maybe like this, if you're having a struggle in some area of your life, maybe it has to do with finances, find some verses, get a friend, talk with me as your pastor and say, what are some verses that will help me understand about a biblical view of money and in my finances? Maybe if you're struggling in the area of lust, you can find some verses that kind of talk about that and you can share and put those words in your heart so that you can fight against that temptation. Maybe it's a struggle against just relational conflict. Maybe it's with your spouse or family or parenting, whatever that is. There are scriptures, there are God's word and truth for your everyday life. So that's why it's important to put them into your heart and into your mind. partner up with others, partner up with someone to help you to be accountable to memorize them. One of the practical ways that I memorize Scripture is I write it out. Certainly, it's in the text, but if I don't write it out and just the practice of writing it out kind of helps it get into my mind. It just kind of translates from the paper and it kind of goes through and it kind of is this process. And so maybe you want to write that out. Maybe you need to write it out multiple times. I know people who draw pictures. They use verses and it kind of called, they're just very artistic and they draw pictures and somehow that is a way that they can internalize it for them. You reflect on that passage and reflect on its meaning, catch the flow of the passage and kind of understand the entire flow from the first verse to the last verse and understand the application of it. That's what it means to meditate upon a verse, to kind of look and understand what is the meaning of this, what is the author intending to say, and how does this apply to my life. That is meditation upon Scripture. And just review that on a daily basis. That's what the psalmist is saying here. In your testimonies, I delight. I meditate on your precepts. I fix my eyes on your ways. I delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 16. Meditation and memorizing Scripture, it results in authenticity. It builds your faith. And lastly, it results in contentment. Verses 17 through 24, it is reflective, I believe, of a one who is dealing with all sorts of relationships. He has enemies that are going up against him. He's got all sorts of circumstances that are kind of caving in around him. He talks about being a sojourner on the earth. And he says, but yet in the midst of all this crisis, all this chaos, I have peace. I have contentment. He says, deal bountifully. The idea is just deal, may I receive generosity, may I have grace from you, Lord. That's his prayer. And so that I may live and keep your word. He prays, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. He's able to pray. He's able to spend time in God's presence. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules. And so he's spending time in God's presence. I believe that God's presence, his promises are greater than your every problem. I believe that. There's once these city boys who liked watching Duck Dynasty. This kind of FYI, I'm not a big Duck Dynasty fan. I don't watch a lot of Duck Dynasty, but these illustrations have just kind of come up lately. But there's these city boys who liked watching Duck Dynasty, and they decided they were going to go duck hunting as well. They saw it on the show, and they said, seems like something fun to do, and so let's go do it ourselves. And so these city boys, they're named Matt and Bill, and they went duck hunting. They dressed in camouflage. They got the hunting dog, and they went on out and went duck hunting. After an entire day of not catching any ducks, they were a bit disappointed. And one of the boys says to the other, "Well, maybe if we threw the dog up higher, we would catch a duck next time." It's not how you catch ducks, okay? It's not from the hound dog. It's you need some firepower, okay? You need a gun in your hand, all right? And I think a lot of people are trying to live and to accomplish tasks, and they don't work or they don't make sense because we don't have firepower. We have hound dogs in our life. I want to ask you, what kind of hound dogs are you using to fix your marriage? What kind of hound dogs are you using to parent your children? What kind of hound dogs are you using to gain purpose and contentment in your life? I want to tell you that those are not hound dogs do not give you firepower. We need God's presence. We need God's word. We need God's promises. Psalm 119, verse 24, your testimonies, God, they are my delights and they are my counselors. They are the ones that give me foundation for my life and they give me contentment no matter what I'm facing, no matter what I'm facing. One last illustration and I'll close today. I was growing up, there was a commercial on TV almost all the time and I kind of memorized it because it was about spaghetti. It's one of my favorite meals. And it was of this mom. She was in the kitchen, and she kind of had the pot, big pot going and the big spoon. She was stirring that spaghetti sauce on up and just kind of slaving and giving it a little TLC, you know, as she was cooking. And her son comes in and says, "Hey, Mom, what you cooking?" She says, "It's spaghetti tonight." And he gets all excited, and he says, but Mom, where are the tomatoes? I don't see any tomatoes out." She says, "It's in there." He says, "Well, what about the garlic?" She says, "It's in there." "Well, what about the meat?" "It's in there." "The green pepper?" "It's in there." And it's Prego spaghetti sauce. And that was their slogan. It's in there. That's what God's word is. It's in there. No matter what you're facing in life, it's in there. No matter what struggles you have, it's in there. You're questioning and wondering, can this really help me? Yes, it's in there. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's in there. Let's pray. Father God, we are humbled at your word this morning. We're humbled because you didn't have to reveal yourself. You didn't have to give us this. But yet, in your sovereignty and your plan, God, you allowed yourself to be made known. First, you made yourself known through your Son. God, we're so thankful for his grace and what he accomplished for us, Lord, in his life, for our righteousness, and in his death, for our forgiveness of sins. We're thankful, God, that he was raised from the dead, God, that we can have the hope of eternal life, and that our union with him connects us, Lord, to your Spirit. We're thankful, God, for your word as well. Your word has shown us who your Son is. Your word sustains us and gives us faith. It builds us up and equips us. It empowers us. And God, this morning we've been challenged, Lord, to put your word on our heart and mind. And so, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will use this message, use your word, God, to bring us closer to you, to take steps of faith, and of this path, of this journey, of walking more closely with you in 2014. God, I just prayed with a brother and talked with him before the service, and I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "You know, my goal is to just be closer to God than I was yesterday." What a wonderful prayer and wisdom that is from a dear brother. And so I pray that that would be true of us today as well. Lord, whatever that looks like for each individual, I pray that you would apply and press in into that heart, into that life of that person. Help them to make decisions and have courage to make those decisions. And that you'll help us, Lord, as a faith family, God, to rally around one another, to hold each other accountable, God, to live according to your word. And just most of all, God, we're thankful for grace. God, just use us for your glory. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.